Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about medical marijuana, what it is, what it is not, and how can we erase some of the fear around it to really able to have this product brought out to people who really could use it. So many people are struggling right now with pain. They're struggling with medical conditions. They're saying, I have no more hope. We're seeing a significant increase in suicides. And even further, a lot of times people are just saying, you know, I don't know what else to do. They end up with compounded medications, and then it's creating a mental health concern. How can we be able to take our pain, our health conditions, and say, I'm doing the best I can? It's about asking questions. And what do? You have to know how to ask the right questions, how to be able to go to the source, to be able to say, you know, I saw something on the internet, I saw something in a flyer, someone else was sharing information, but I would like to know more. That's what we're going to do today. Today we're going to be talking to the medical marijuana expert, Dr. Roshna Patel, and she's going to be sharing her work and how she can guide you to ask the questions, how she can share information from her experience on what may be the truth, what may be a myth, but also the fourth going, we say, let's talk about it without fear. Let's not be afraid of asking the questions. Let's not be judged or labeled and have an honest conversation. Dr. Patel, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Yeah, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Dr. Patel, don't you think we just really want to guide people to say there are options out there, and this is just another one, and we really would love to share the information, yes? You know, I think medical marijuana kind of scares the you-know-what out of people. I'm in my 60s. Many of the people in my age group are well aware of doing things in the 60s, and they say, you know, hey, we used to smoke that all the time, and we were just fine. That's not what we're talking about. Or is it? Can you share a little bit about what exactly the word marijuana and what it conjures up in people's minds these days?
Yeah, so I've had patients come in with a wide variety of experiences with having used marijuana, right? So I have the person that's completely naive to it, who's like, you know, I've never even touched this before, not in high school, not in college. And then I have patients coming in telling me that they used it maybe a handful of times back in high school or college, was not a good experience. And then I have the people, you know, I was located in the Bay Area, so right. I worked with the counterculture generation, right, where it was very common to use marijuana. And so these are people that have been using it on an almost regular basis as well. And the thing that they all have in common is now they're at the point in their life where they're not looking to use it recreationally at all. They're not looking to get high off of it, and they're simply looking to use it medically to help with a certain medical condition or a symptom.
Right. You know, I think a lot of times we say, but that's what the doctor is for. The doctor will give me some pills for this, that, or the other. And right now we see ourselves up against the opioid crisis, and a lot of medications are coming off of the market, and you're not even able to get them anymore. And it really is a disservice to many elders who have been on many of these drugs for several years, you know, be it an anxiety medication, be it a pain medication, or be it something that they believed was really keeping them symptom at least reduced. I'll say. And when they have less symptoms, they feel that they can still go on and do their daily activities. So I think many people are getting confused and they're saying, why do I need to look for something else? I think really their treatment plans are getting shifted. Now they're really saying, yes, I need to look for something else, right?
Yeah, so basically people are at the point where, you know, they've been on medication and they're and you know, it's not working for them or it stopped working for them. And then you have the patients where they're experiencing side effects from the medications. And then finally you have the patients that are concerned about getting addicted to these medications. You know, they're noticing they're needing higher and higher doses of the medication. And it's almost like a crutch for them. So you know, so that's one of the reasons that they're coming to me. A lot of them, you know, when I mentioned that, you know, nothing's working for them, they've sort of done their rounds. They've spun their wheels in conventional medicine and in alternative mm-hmm. treatments. And I would say the vast majority of patients that come to me, you know, they're at their wit's end and they're, you know, sort of giving it a last shot, you know, with medical marijuana. And so that's usually the situation in terms of the context in who comes to me.
And I don't think that medical marijuana is a first line of treatment. It's usually when people have very complex treatment plans. They have a lot of diagnosis. They are really up against the wall. And people will say, oh, but I've been okay for many years. And all of a sudden they go to the doctor and now their blood pressure is so out of control they need 5 or 6 prescriptions, or all of a sudden they have a diagnosis of cancer, or they have a knee replaced and then their pain level is through the roof. So I think it's those times when it's almost like it's last pin that kind of has hit the haystack and it just explodes. You know, you kind of find yourself in a space where it's really an urgent problem. I don't think this is something that, you know, it increases over time. So all of a sudden, something just really tips the wheel, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes, I agree. And usually, you know, it's them, you know, searching around on the internet for answers, mm-hmm. Turning to family and friends for answers. Maybe they saw something on the news or read something, you know, in the newspaper or magazine. So they're really in searching for answers, you know, at that point in their life, and they happen to come across medical marijuana.
You know, though, I think a lot of people, too, will say, I don't want to get hooked on something else. And they look at marijuana as the other addictive kind of paraphernalia. And they say, you know, I don't want to be, I'm off of the orange bottle, and now you want me to go to something that I see it, you know, as you say, the counterculture. We see it on the streets, we see it in the magazines, how, quote, those people act. And they say, oh, I don't want to be one of those either. Don't you think that's definitely a myth?
It is, and that's the myth that patients come to me with, right? That, you know, I want to get high, mm-hmm. I don't want to get addicted, I don't want to have to smoke marijuana. And the thing is that they don't have to. They don't have to get addicted, they don't have to smoke it, they don't have to get high off of it, right? Ultimately, it all comes down to how you're using the medication, right? And so a lot of what we've seen in the media, a lot of what we, even the research that's done, it's done in heavy users of marijuana. So these are people that are actually abusing marijuana. And there's a big difference between that population and the population that's using it medically, right? So when someone's using it medically, I'm really guiding them on only taking the lowest effective dose at a minimal frequency, right? They're not taking more than they actually need. So that's a big sort of point of emphasis in the consultations that I have, is that, you know, walking them through how to safely use the medical marijuana so that they don't have to encounter, you know, all these things that they're seeing, for instance, in the media and mm-hmm. whatnot.
Right. And also, too, I think the idea that people are going to know about it and, oh, can I drive? Or, oh, am I going to get arrested for doing something that's illegal or not illegal, is a huge concern to elders, especially when people are, you know, in many of their later years, and they say, you know, I don't really have a husband to drive me around or a wife, and I'm kind of by myself. Can I manage this myself? Your thoughts?
Yes, Yes, it is possible. And actually, you know, the average age of patients that I treat, the range is anywhere from 40 all the way up to even 90. And I would say the vast majority of patients are between their 40s and 60s. So I have definitely treated patients that, you know, have had concern about, you know, it affecting their ability to function in general. And again, it comes down to taking it in such a way so that it's not impacting your ability to function. So, and again, that's another goal. How do you take this medication so that it doesn't impact your ability to function? And I've been able to work with patients so that it's not impacting their ability and it's actually helping to improve the quality of their life. You know, whether they're experiencing pain, anxiety, insomnia, it's helping to improve the quality of their life. And not detracting from, you know, their everyday activities of daily living.
Let's talk about the concept that if you end up finding yourself with a physician and the physician says about trying it, and you say, okay, I'd love to try medical marijuana, and you ask the doctor and you start to have a conversation, but you think about all of the other 8, 9, or 10 physicians that you have. Do you have to alert all of those other physicians or not? Or does this need to be a grand old meeting of the minds kind of idea? And if just one knocks out, then you're not able to get it.
So it's really going to depend on the physicians themselves, right? So I've had patients encounter physicians that sort of fall into one of three categories, right? You have physicians that are vehemently against marijuana, and you know, God forbid a patient even mentions marijuana, you know, they're basically almost scolded for it. But, you know, don't even mention the word marijuana in front of me. So that's one category of doctors, right? And then you have another group of doctors that are like, look, what you do on your own time is none of my business. So I'm not going to tell you one way or the other. So they take sort of a neutral stance on it, right? And then you have the doctors that are in support of it, but they work for a system that doesn't support the use of the patient issuing a medical marijuana card, a certification, or a recommendation, right? And so in which case what they do, these doctors do that, is they refer out to independent practitioners like myself, that have more freedom to practice. And so it falls into one of those three categories, and it is a question that comes up quite a bit in consultations that, you know, what do I do? And so it really depends on the comfort level of, you know, that the patient has with the physician. I mean, there have definitely been patients that have brought it up, and they've ended up being discharged from the practice simply because, you know, the patient is using marijuana. And you know, albeit they're using it medically under the guidance of a physician like myself, but even then, you know, they've been discharged from the practice. So it's really a case-by-case basis. You still, you know, you sort of have to gauge how open your physician is. Now, obviously, it'd be nice to have an open conversation, you know, an open and honest conversation that, hey, this is exactly what I'm using to treat this particular condition that you're also helping me with. But you just sort of have to, I think, gauge it, you know. And where I'm helping people is, you know, we're also going through their medication list. We're looking for any, you know, potential adverse drug-to-drug interactions and whatnot. So I don't have a very clear answer for that particular question. It's a tough situation.
I mean, it certainly is. I think a lot of times people feel so indebted to their physicians. They feel so attached to them as their savior. As they're a person who's going to keep them alive no matter what because they, quote, know everything about them. But then they feel challenged when a situation comes along. We see this quite often when people decide to go into hospice or into palliative care or if they have some other conditions and another doctor, quote, takes over. A lot of times people feel dejected, left out, and their health seems to deteriorate. And what we really want to say is to please continue to ask questions because if you ask the right questions, you are able to get some really great help from the people who really are able to support you in your symptom therapy. And when we say that, it's really about being able to say what's the best for you. It may be best for some to stay with their pharmaceuticals. It may be best for others to have everything on board and everybody talking. And we always have this dream, you know, Dr. Patel and I, where, you know, all the physicians are speaking together and everybody says, oh, what do you think about this? And wouldn't this be great? Would that work into your treatment plan? And how would we float this other treatment plan to be able to help this other situation? And we think, wouldn't that be great how everyone would talk? Well, kind of that's a dream that we're really looking forward to, but really being a patient, you really are in charge of your own patterns of how you're working through the system. So Dr. Patel, can you share a little bit about the word marijuana? When we're talking about medical marijuana, are we talking about smoking weed, carrying it in a little pouch, having to go hide, being able to do it in public, or is there a whole other set of parameters?
Yeah, so let's talk about the ways to use medical marijuana. I am a big opponent of smoking medical marijuana because long term it does do damage to the lungs and to overall health. So alternatives to smoking include vaporization, right? That's another way of inhaling medical marijuana. It's where you heat the plant rather than burning it. Then you have edibles, okay? And in certain states such as California and Colorado, the industry has evolved enough where now you have, you know, you have sugar-free options, you have gluten-free options, you have vegan options. And it doesn't have just come in the form of a sweet, right? Like your prototypical pot brownie. Then you have a sublingual formulation of medical marijuana as well. So this is basically something that you apply under the tongue. Then you have topicals, which are ointments, gel creams that you can use. And then there's even rectal and vaginal formulations of marijuana as well. So wide variety of options in terms of methods of administration. And then in terms of, you know, I want to just go back and touch on what you mentioned. I do want to emphasize, so medical marijuana is not a wonder drug. You know, you mentioned that, you know, in some situations pharmaceuticals work a lot better than any of the alternatives that are available. And I think that's very true. Now, the most common conditions that I treat are chronic pain, anxiety, and insomnia, right? But then I've also had patients come in wanting to treat their depression, their cancer with medical marijuana. And in those cases, I haven't seen much efficacy, you know, in the way of using medical marijuana to treat these conditions, right? Especially in the case of cancer. There's sort of misinformation out there on the internet that you know, marijuana cures cancer. Certainly not a claim that I would make based on the knowledge that I've acquired and also based on the clinical experience that I've gained as well in all these years, right? So, but I think that's an important fact to keep in mind, that it works great for certain conditions over pharmaceutical medications, even sometimes over other alternatives, but not for every condition that's out there.
Let's speak for a second about the different types of marijuana that is available. There are oils. We see this on the internet, and people say, oh, I ordered that. I got that from somebody on the internet, and they said it was great, and it's CBD oil, and it's going to help with everything that I've got wrong, and I bought a six-month supply kind of idea. Also, we see things like hemp seeds. We see hemp oil in the regular grocery store. But then we turn around and we say there's medical dispensaries. So can you share how you start down that continuum with the plants and get into those different aspects?
Yeah, so let's talk about these CBD oils that you brought up. And I actually have a great video on my YouTube channel that goes into how to buy CBD oil, you know, what questions do you want to ask. So main thing is let's talk about marijuana versus hemp because that's where the CBD can come from. So basic distinction between hemp and marijuana, and I'm using the words marijuana and cannabis interchangeably to mean the same thing. The main distinction between hemp and marijuana is basically a legal distinction, right? So hemp, by law, makes less than 0.3% THC. That's what's considered hemp. And by default, marijuana is anything that makes more than 0.3% THC. Okay. And so both, so you know, it's basically sort of the same plant. It, you know, it makes CBD, and that's where the CBD can be extracted from. Buying off the internet these products, I would do it with a great caution, because off the internet is not a very regulated source to purchase products from. Now, if you're buying from a medical marijuana dispensary in a state where marijuana has been legalized for medical or recreational use, then that's a more reliable source, because these medical marijuana dispensaries have to be licensed by the state in order to sell these products, right? And from seed to sale, there's a whole process that they have to go through in order to start and continue to either grow the product, sell the product, et cetera. So there are a couple, either place that you purchase it from, there are a couple questions that you want to ask, right? Number one is who are they accountable to? So like I mentioned, at a medical marijuana dispensary, they are state-licensed facilities. They're state-licensed facilities, so they're liable to the state. Off the internet, they're not necessarily really liable to anyone, right? And in which case, you really want to focus heavily on the laboratory testing. And that's important, too, because laboratory testing will give you information like the exact amounts of the different chemicals that are in the products that you're purchasing. It'll give you information on amounts of pesticides and fungicides. Okay, it'll give you information on fungus and bacteria. They'll do a profiling to see, you know, if any of that is present. So those are some of the main questions that you want to ask in terms of, you know, when you're looking to purchase the CBD-based products. Now, I do want to emphasize that there is a misconception that CBD sort of is a cure-all that's applicable to, you know, all conditions. Not the case, and I haven't found that to be the case clinically either. There are certain conditions that are benefited from high amounts of CBD, and there are some conditions that don't benefit from it. It just doesn't do anything for them, right? So let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. Patients with multiple sclerosis, for instance, right? So what happens with them is that they get they have a severe form of muscle cramp. And that causes them a lot of pain. And CBD is an antispasmodic, so it helps to relax their muscles. So in that case, these patients are benefited from high amounts of CBD, right? So it really depends on a case-by-case basis as to who benefits and who doesn't, based on the culmination of medical conditions and symptoms that they have.
You know, it definitely, when you talk about the internet, you know, I've spoken many times on the radio show about this. People are starting to, quote, grow things in their own backyard. And they say, oh, but it's the plant. And they say on the internet, you can just take the plant and put it in this, that, or the other and extract what you need. You know, a lot of times, even when people would say something like, let's just use the burdock root, for example. Parts of it are very good. Parts of it are poisonous. Parts of it are toxic. Yet people, when they read, can only read so far, and you end up with many, many problems. So really, when people on the internet are saying that we're making our own and they are not under any type of registration, licensing, certification, lab testing, they're taking the plant, they're doing whatever they do with it, putting it into a container and extracting and not testing to see if that's actually in there. So really, a lot of times when we see these little pop-ups, you know, I'll call them mom and pop for just sake of discussion, when we see these or these new age kind of startups, we say, oh, but there it is, it's cheaper, and I trust them because I think they're okay. That kind of is when you end up having results where people will say, I tried it before and it didn't work. I tried it and I got really sick, or I had really bad side effects. And I think really that's when you also, in your profession as the expert, must say, let's look back at that. Let's take a step back and see exactly what your experience was and how you walked through that. That's very important also, correct?
Correct. So what's interesting, just to touch upon that, you made a really important point. the FDA ran some random testing on some of these sites that were selling off the internet. And what they found was that some products had more than that 0.3% THC, okay? Mm-hmm. And some products, based on what was on the label, what was actually in the product paled in comparison to what was claimed on the label. So that's interesting, right? Because I've had patients come in where they've purchased, you know, products off of, I don't know, Amazon, some websites, and they've told me, you know, Dr. Patel, this is supposed to be a high CBD product, but I got high off of it, right? And the psychoactive substance in marijuana is THC. So now you know why, because some of these products that are being sold actually have more than 0.3% THC in them. And then I've had patients tell me that, you know, I use this product that I bought off the internet, and it didn't work. And again, now we know why, because what was actually in the product didn't actually have the amount that they claimed to have written on the label. So you know, these are important considerations in when you're, you know, trying to use medical marijuana to help benefit you.
You know, I think it's really important, many of the questions that we've talked about today is about being able to say, I need to do my research. I suggest to everyone to get a list together, a little, you know, notebook from the grocery store, and write down your questions and the answers, and write down who shared that information with you and where you got that information from. Because when you go to the physician, you're asking questions, they can say, okay, let's look back at that pattern, and you could be able to find a trail where it might have broken. Sort of like, well, I just kind of Googled something, and I saw a question and an answer, and they had this answer down. And it turned out to be not from a physician. It turned out to be an answer from some kind of Google panel, you know, or from someone who was just posting their thoughts or their experience. So it's really important to decide. It's really about your health, and you really don't want anyone else to be able to tell you exactly will it work or won't work, or exactly what products to be using, other than an expert physician, correct? I mean, that is really, that's why it's called medical marijuana. And if you're looking for the results in your symptoms to help you, you really need to be able to go to the source and then be able to walk through the correct path. I mean, there's so many broken paths and there's so many wrong ways that this could go. It's really about asking someone like you, yes?
Yes, agreed. And, you know, what's interesting is that I've even had patients come to me that have been using marijuana for a while, for, you know, years we're talking about. And a lot of times the results that they experienced were hit and miss. And so once they finally came to me, we were able to get it down to, you know, to science in terms of, you know, what they need to be using, how much of it, how often, how they need to be using it, so that they're getting more consistent results, right? And that way, a lot of times, you know, for instance, with pain, they're then less reliant on their prescription medications, the pharmaceutical drugs. So yes, I do agree that it is important to go to a knowledgeable and well-experienced physician for this information.
And also, too, it's really about the method of delivery. You might be smoking it randomly, but you might say, oh, well, my kids came for 3 weeks and, you know, I didn't want to bring it out. And then your pain kind of went off the wall. So if you had spoken to your physician, you might have found out you could have used a different delivery system, you know, an oil or whatever else, or, you know, whatever you might have had available to you in your state that you live in. And that might have been something to keep it very consistent so you wouldn't have these flare-ups, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it depends, like I said, on the condition. Some methods are a lot more appropriate for certain conditions than others. Also, dosing has a lot to do with it, and also frequency of use, right? So all of those factors combined, and also, you know, what combination of cannabinoids are you using? Now, typical scenario is that a lot of times, especially in states where marijuana is legal for recreational use, you know, people will, you can, as long as you're over the age of 21, you can just walk into the dispensary. And what happens is that the person behind the counter is guiding the patient in terms of how to use medical marijuana. Now, mind you, these people are not medically trained. In fact, to put it nicely, they're speaking from a place of personal experience rather than professional experience, right?
And they're usually in their 20s,
yeah.
You know, and you're 60 or 70 year old in pain, of which these kids have no concept of what pain means.
Right, exactly. Or and so they'll give you, you know, they'll suggest, and ultimately here's the thing, they're salespeople behind the counter. They're hired to sell. And so there's a conflict there, right, where they're interested in trying to sell as many products as possible. And so patients will come to me and be like, okay, well, I tried these 10 different products in the course of, 2 to 3 weeks, and I'm not sure what works and what doesn't work at this point. And sometimes I actually did get high off of the product, and sometimes I didn't. And so you know, we're able to hone it down to just one product that they need,
right?
And then figure out how to use that and be very methodical about it. So that's the advantage of going to a physician, you know, because you're basically you're saving yourself time and money at the end of the day by avoiding a lot of trial and error.
In closing, let's talk about the topic of how you can get help. You're in a state that is licensed or is not. And what exactly does the physician write out a prescription and then you go to the pharmacy and get it? Does a doctor dispense it? Does a medical dispensary? Or, hey, I'm in another state and I don't know what to do. I think that's really a quandary where a lot of people are saying, do I need to move to be able to get help?
So in the United States, states fall into one of three categories, okay? And then we'll talk about sort of exceptions to the rule, you know, whether or not you're a resident from out of state. So you have states that have legalized for recreational use, right? And we have 9 states plus the District of Columbia present day that have legalized for recreational use, right? Some of those states, well, they're all along the Western seaboard and then in the New England area as well. The rest of the country, and then Colorado, but then beyond that, most of the other areas have not legalized for recreational use. So in these states, basically the way it works, like I mentioned, is that as long as you're over the age of 21, you can walk in and get access to products, okay, to now. Mm-hmm. These states also still have a standing medical marijuana program as well, okay, because some products are only accessible for recreational use, and then some products are only accessible for medical use. So if you want to use the products that are designated for medical use, then you need to get, you need to see a physician and be evaluated by the physician and get documentation from the physician that, you know, this patient will benefit from the use of medical marijuana, and that's how you get access to medical products in those states. Then there are states that have legalized just for medical use, right? And overall, and this may include the states that have also legalized for recreational use, but overall in the United States, 29 states to present day have legalized for the medical use of marijuana. And typically, the process varies from state to state, but the general process is that, number one, you have to have a qualifying condition. Right. So most states have a sort of limited set of qualifying conditions for who will approve for medical marijuana in the first place. Then you go see a physician. The physician then issues what may be called a certification, a license, a recommendation. And typically the next step is to register with the state. And the state will then issue the medical marijuana card, and then this will then allow you to go to a dispensary to purchase medical marijuana products. So that's generally how the process works in states that have legalized for medical use. Now, in states that have not legalized for either medical or recreational use, growing, selling, using marijuana is still deemed a criminal act. So, in those states, it's completely illegal.
No, go ahead.
Oh, it's really going to depend on the state in which you live. Now, in some states, you don't have to be a resident of the state to purchase the medical marijuana. And that's the case, for instance, in Colorado, in California, and this is typically the case in states that have legalized for recreational use, where you don't have to be a resident of the state to purchase at a recreational level.
You know, so I think a lot of times people will say, I saw it and we're just going to have to move there, and they kind of like run in fear. But also, too, the idea that a lot of those states that have legalized medical marijuana do not have programs in place at this point. I know I live in Louisiana, and the programs are not in place. They've legalized it. There are no physicians signed up. They have no dispensaries. It's just, quote, on the books. So I think many times people will say, but it's down.
Yeah.
Why can't they figure it out? Why isn't it there? And then the programs to be able to go to these physicians are not even written up or designated. So in other words, there's nothing across the country that says when a dispensary opens, it follows this universal pattern and path, and you know what you're getting state to state. Or if you go to a physician state to state, you know the same treatment plans, the same protocols, the same everything would be there. And we would think that it would be. However, it really is so far from the picture, right?
Yeah, it varies from state to state. And actually what your listeners may find helpful is that I started a series on how to get medical marijuana state by state. So I've already done Hawaii. I've provided information on Florida, Pennsylvania. So week by week, I'm just continuing to put out information on different states so that people living in those states know how to get access to medical marijuana. But yes, you're right. There's nothing universal. And the other thing is that you make a very important point that in some states it may be on the books, but at a practical level, they may have nothing in place, right? Nothing in place from the point of having doctors evaluating patients.
Right.
And also dispensaries. That's actually the most important thing. I know this was the case in Massachusetts for a while where it was on the books, and there were doctors issuing recommendations, but then there was nowhere for patients to go buy medical marijuana. So they were still buying it off the street on the black market, which is unfortunate, right? Because, I mean, you know, God forbid there's a patient with cancer and they get a product that has fungus in it, you know, and they get a fungal infection from it.
Mm-hmm.
So you make a very important point that, yes, in some states it's on the books, but at a practical level, they haven't implemented everything. And sometimes it takes a while. I know in Maryland, it's taken a couple years before they've actually even opened up dispensaries to get all their ducks in a row, so to speak. And so it just depends from state to state. So I am trying to help people out by putting out these videos where there is a program from end to end that's in place for people to access medical marijuana.
You know, here in Louisiana, everybody says, oh, my kids just, my husband has encountered some people, and they'd say, oh, my kids go get it. They go get whatever I need. I don't need to worry about a physician or a doctor or anything, and they buy it off the streets. And I think there's huge resistance in Louisiana to be able, by the physicians. The physicians don't want to hear. They don't want anything to do with it. They don't want to know anything about it. And I think sometimes when physicians put up a resistance, it's because they don't want to learn something else. They don't understand it. They feel that it is something else that they, quote, have to adjust to and include in their protocols, and they're just not ready to do that yet. So sometimes when you meet a physician that is having resistance, the answer or the question may be, do I need to find someone else, and what is his resistance? You know, and sometimes you can sense it when you ask a question and they get very angry or they push you off or they threaten to kick you out of the practice. And I think, too, also if, as a patient, is to be very calm, have patience, and to understand also their point of view, that it is their issue, it's not yours. So if it's something that you seriously believe in and are ready to make that next step, please do check out Dr. Patel's information, and it'll give you some more beef to be able to find someone that will help you. Don't you think, Dr. Patel?
Yeah, totally. And then the other thing is I have plenty of information that's available on my website and on my YouTube channel that people can get access to. You can like my Facebook page. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel. And I'm always putting up information The other thing is that I've also created protocols by medical condition as well, so that people know how to safely use the medical marijuana. So a wide variety of resources that I've made available on my website.
Well, Dr. Patel, it was such a pleasure to have you with us to share the light on this. I think many people feel like they're walking in the dark and they're even afraid to ask their spouses for questions to be able to say, let's go try this out, because they're afraid of all the backlash. Can you share with our listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Yeah, sure. So my website address is www.drrachnapatel. So that's Dr. abbreviated DR. Rachna, which is spelled R-A-C-H-N as in Nancy, A-P-A-T-E-L.com. That's my website. And if you want to go to my YouTube channel, you can just Google the medical marijuana expert and YouTube. Just enter those terms into the Google search bar, and my YouTube channel will come up as one of the first results. And and then there's my Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/ Dr. Rachna Patel. And in that case, doctor is spelled out, D-O-C-T-O-R. So those are all the different ways that folks can get information from me.
Well, Dr. Patel, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here. I think many people are saying they're scared, and I think we've really gone through and shared a lot of myths and truths, and maybe that will help people to guide them to ask for more questions and check out all your pages. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, and I appreciate you giving me the platform to share my message. So thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. You know, when we live in this age group of the 60s, even getting into the 70s, it's like something's got to shake out. You know, I'm not about to be able to collect all those orange bottles on my table. So many people are saying, you know, do I live with pain? Do I complain about it, or do I actually do something about it? So I think many people are being more proactive these days. So that's really a wonderful way that you're sharing your work.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Patel, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page, and you go directly to her website. And please do ask the questions. And if you don't get the right answers, go to Dr. Patel's pages and put it in there, and I'm sure you'll find the answer somewhere. If not, you'll be able to find some information there to be able to guide you back to the direct way to find those answers. And it's all about being able to be safe also. Pain is really something that everybody's got these days, and doesn't matter if you have a little bit of pain and you've got it every single day and it really affects your life, or if you're really kind of like hit that wall and you're just about done. Really about asking questions on how you can help and get some relief. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.